Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And it is stay-at-home time for everyone that can. And as I said last week, I'm not very excited about the list of essential businesses that can stay open. That we need many of them to close for a week or two, so we can try to limit the spread of the coronavirus, if at all possible. And it is possible. We know what to do. We just need people to do that, which is to stay home and stay isolated, connect to people with the phone, with the computer, wave to them from your porch, but stay home. And you're doing this for our medical personnel who are about to be overwhelmed, and the next couple of weeks will be heartbreaking for them, I'm afraid. And you know, what you can do right now is to stay home and avoid the transmission. You may have it and don't know it, or someone that you walk past, some surface that you may touch, that can transmit it to you. It can live on metal and plastic surfaces for up to 3 days, 72 hours, and that's a long time. And in many public places, there are a whole lot of people that have touched those surfaces in the last few days. So, and it's one of the articles warning about the coronavirus mentioned, you know, the person that walked down the aisle of that store an hour and a half ago may have left you some coronavirus in the air or on the surfaces. And as we go through time here, each day there is a better and better chance that the people around you who are out in public and are not isolating at home, there's a better chance that those people will have the COVID-19. That's just the fact of how it's spreading quickly. But we're not seeing those results in cases because we're not testing very many people at all. And so you read about the COVID-19 deaths, those are fairly concrete numbers. But the cases are anything but. It's almost meaningless numbers. You can probably add a zero, and maybe even as time goes by here, a couple of zeros to the number of cases that are out there that we don't know about. Some people are not affected by it. 80% of people will, have a no reaction or a bad cold, maybe a bad flu type of reaction to this virus. So again, 80% are going to be okay, and 20% are going to need a hospital. And 20% of Monroe County is a lot of people. Again, no one's been exposed to this before, so there's no immunity. And 20% of Monroe County is 750,000 people in Monroe County. That's a lot of people. And so 20% of that, 150,000 people, that's why we need to stay home. We don't have 150,000 beds in our hospitals. We don't have 15,000 beds in our hospitals. We might have several thousand, and we might be able to double that. But we're going to have a very hard time getting to 10,000 beds in Monroe County. And again, about 20% of the population will need a hospital bed, and about 5% of those will need a ventilator, ICU, and that's a huge number. We have several hundred of these, not tens of thousands of these. So we need to stay home. We need to avoid contact, and make do with what you have. If you have to go to the grocery store, try to get it delivered. But make do with what you have, and don't go out, and don't interact in person with other people. The 6-foot rule, the hand washing, important to do, but not enough, because you really do need to stay home. And as I said last hour, be skeptical of what the politicians say. Listen to the doctors, the nurses. They're the ones that are going to have to deal with the reality of too many people for the beds, too many people for the ICU units. So listen to them. Again, the phone number here, 585-346-3000, and I've got Ron Doherty with us this morning. Good morning, Ron. How are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm all right. Staying home, and you've been working on the hand sanitizer operation, I guess, helping to source some of the raw materials?
Yes, absolutely. It's been a very, very interesting project. We're very excited to actually lend a hand and help out with this critically needed project here in our communities. Is Chris Carlson on the line yet? I knew he was going to be joining.
Yeah, I don't think we can have both of you on at the same time.
Gotcha.
He's going to be on in here shortly, and we'll get some of the details about how it's made. You've been helping to procure alcohol in the form of wine, which they then can distill down to the alcohol needed for the hand sanitizer, right?
Yes, actually, that cuts the production time to get the hand sanitizer out the door down a great deal. We're sourcing bulk wine in tanks and sometimes bulk wine that's already in bottles from wineries that are very generously making large donations to the project. So that we basically skip the fermentation step and we go right into the distillation of ethanol, which is one of the single most critical components of hand sanitizer.
Now, in real life, you're a wine judge, consultant to winemakers, right?
Yes, and a lot of my contacts come through the Raise a Glass Foundation, which is our charitable foundation based here in Rochester, New York, where we work with wineries and distilleries and cideries now around the world, and hold competitions, and all of the proceeds from all of those competitions go to help our local national charities around the world and the country.
So you're an ideal person to know a lot of the wineries, many of them are shipping wine, so people can get the local wines from our area shipped to them. The competition for Raise a Glass Foundation, the wine competition, were you able to hold the judging before all this really got so much worse?
Before everyone couldn't meet anymore and stay at home. No, our competition was scheduled for May 1st. So we made the decision several weeks back to postpone that, and we're going to be holding the complete competition and the very first weekend of August. So we pushed it out by 3 months. We hope that's beyond the window of when all of this will calm down and we'll be able to have the competition. Competitions at that time.
All right, and how do people get more information on the Raise a Glass Foundation?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. Our website domain is raiseaglassfoundation.com. If you go there, it's kind of our umbrella page, which talks about all the competitions, and then you just click on the competition you're interested in. We run wine competitions, spirits, ciders now are a brand new one. We just started this year. And then the New York State Craft Beer Competition is also one of the competitions that we help organize.
All right. Well, thank you for all your help on connecting with the wineries to speed up the process of the producing the hand sanitizer, Ron. And stay safe, stay home, and so we'll get through this as quickly as possible, I hope. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Ron Doherty in Raise a Glass Foundation. And the timeline for producing the hand sanitizer was critical because the key offices, doctor's offices and paramedics, the hospitals were running out. The supply line was pretty much empty, and so days weren't an option. They needed to produce it as quickly as possible. And right now we have Chris Carlson with us, the spiritual advisor and one of the key people to kind of pull all these elements together. And Chris, thanks for calling this morning.
Oh, sure. No, you're welcome. Glad to help.
The idea, now you've worked with spirits, with writing about the spirits industry for how many years have you been involved as a
reviewer? Well, about 20 so far. I review all types of spirits on the web, barware, glassware, all sorts of stuff, and I also, you know, write about some of the things that are going on in the industry. We traveled all over the world, from, you know, to Cuba, to Peru, to France. I became a cognac educator, which is, there's less than 100 of us in the world. I mean, we've done a lot, I guess, over the 20 years that we've been writing, and, you know, we're getting some recognition and respect. And although I always joke that I, you know, about how proud I was when I received my first fairly serious death threat after writing about some really awful stuff that somebody made once. So
yeah,
it cuts both ways.
That's right. It's not all glory, right?
Oh no, God no.
But you live here in Rochester, and
mm-hmm. Oh yes, and, yeah, and, we're right in the edge towards Brighton here, but we, you know, we travel all over the world, and we cover the local bar scenes and things like that. I was just reviewing some of my bitter comments from 15 years ago, where I was complaining about the complete lack of any kind of cocktail culture and not telling people don't even bother to go outside when it came to cocktails. And now, until recently, it had just gotten, you know, so much better, and, you know, of course, and just an incredible, you know, flowering with the Rochester Cocktail Revival and things like that. And now, you know, now things are, shall we say, contracting a bit. But
yeah, but it's,
you know, thank God we do have places that will deliver beer to your house, and we've got Good Luck and Cure, which will not only deliver delicious meals, but they will also bring you cocktails and deliver. So civilization is not completely collapsed in Rochester yet.
That's right. Well, and I think I got to know Fee Brothers quite a few years ago because mm-hmm. I was looking for like 55-gallon plastic drums to use for rain barrels, and mm-hmm. someone said they might have them, and was able to get some from Fee Brothers, which is on Portland Avenue, I think. Portland or Hudson? Portland, I guess.
Portland, yeah. They were kind of one of the last holdouts to actually make bitters in the United States, and were really very fundamental in bringing things like bitters back and making proper cocktails again, and so that's been really good for us. And
they survived a lot of lean years of people not knowing what bitters were. And
exactly, yeah, they were, you know, don't squeeze, use fees. They were making, it's funny because they were making the stuff that all the mixologists hate now. But now they're really held up as, you know, examples of people who, you know, kept the torch burning for bitters and such like, and really helping, you know, revive the cocktail culture. And so that
they ship really around the country, maybe even around the world, or
around the world. I mean, Joe Fee, who unfortunately passed away recently, he said that Fee Brothers was in every continent except Antarctica, and I suspect they might be there too.
Well, they survived long enough to see cocktails come back, and again, as you mentioned, Cure and Good Luck are delivering
good luck
those.
And Cure, they were some of the first to, you know, really take cocktails seriously again, and it's been so lovely watching the whole industry just suddenly blossom and people getting it. And it's funny because we had people who, I actually ran into someone, unfortunately I forget her name at the moment, but she's a fairly famous actress from way back, like in the 30s. You know, to see her sitting there at a bar like Cheshire or something like that, and, you know, and talking with these, you know, 25-year-olds over the same drinks and talking about, you know, how wonderful cocktails are and teaching them and things like that. It's really been an experience, you know, being able to be part of that.
Yeah. Well, Chris Carlson is with us, and the idea that distilleries could make hand sanitizers, well, where did that come from? How did it originate?
Well, it's been something that's been going on for a number of years, like with the Ebola crisis and things like that, basically using sort of cottage industries and, you know, local industries to meet demand. And actually, if anyone's interested in how it's made, you can go to Google it, you know, go to the World, and look for the World Health Organization guidelines on hand sanitizer, because they published some really good guidelines on how to make hand sanitizer. Unfortunately, the average person can't do it because you do need high-strength alcohol, which, okay, you can occasionally find a bottle of Everclear right now, but it's just marginally easier than finding a bottle of hand sanitizer. But it details how it's done. It's relatively simple, you know, kitchen chemistry kind of thing, and it's been used all over the world for quite a while, and we didn't really need it here till recently, when it's kind of like the toilet paper problem. So, you know, suddenly everybody bought it up and it's gone. And a lot of people who, you know, normally just wash their hands and didn't think about hand sanitizer, they're all looking for it. So it suddenly went from something that was always there to can't find it for love nor money, which is why we decided to step up, because there's been such a huge need for it.
And I didn't realize till talking to you recently that you, in your background, you are EMT. So you haven't been doing that now, but you understand the importance of hand sanitizer more than most people.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And also, my wife is a nurse practitioner. So yeah, we, you know, and also growing up in a rare bookstore, you know, always. Especially growing up in a rare bookstore in the middle of nowhere before the internet, that's how I learn all the strange things that I know. And so we, you know, we're very aware of that kind of thing. And you look at, you know, sanitation and the fight to get people to wash their hands or take off that tie. You know, it's been going on for hundreds of years, and so we're, you know, quite aware of that. And yeah, and it's just, you know, we were just struck by the fact that you just could not get hand sanitizer, and luckily we knew, well, that's something we could do.
How did you start? Where did you go first to see how it could be made?
Well, first we started with Black Button, who's been a rip-roaring success at this, really, right now, because I was in Vienna back in mid-March, I think it was the 11th or so, and I was only there for 24 hours when we had to flee the country. So, anyway, we got that's a long story. I won't get into it at the moment, but we got
it,
back.
It wasn't
and I
anything illegal
Jason.
You were fleeing from. We'll just throw that out there, right?
Yeah. Well, we had no idea. We just knew that the president was closing the border in about 24 hours, and we needed to get back now.
Right.
So, because we were flying out of Toronto, it was quite the little adventure. So, in any case, what happened is that we got back, and I immediately called Jason of Jason Barrett of Black Button, and we got to talking about this, and we both recognized this as a real problem. And I went to him first because basically he had the biggest still, and certainly the biggest distribution network among all the craft distillers right now. So I thought, okay, let's go to the person who can get it the firstest and the mostest to the people immediately. So we started talking, and one thing led to another, and suddenly we found, 700 gallons of glycerin from a local supplier, and he went to work. They're now doing 8,500 bottles a day. It's 6 days a week.
8,500 bottles a day? Wow.
Yeah, 8,500 bottles a day, 6 days a week, and they're hoping to hit 10,000 bottles a day midweek as they continue to ramp up.
But they're not. Their goal is not to put Purell out of business, right?
Oh, no. Purell could drown us in one of their vats very easily. It's like saying that, like competing, refining gasoline against, say, Exxon. Usually we wouldn't even be we wouldn't even be on anybody's radar for this. But it's because there's just been such a massive need and just getting things out to people that, we're all pitching in on this, and we've got now 10 other distilleries also that are working together. We stole the idea from a children's story. We're calling it the Stone Soup Project, which is where some soldiers in the mid-1800s, come into a village with just a pot and three stones and convince the villagers that if they all sort of chip in just little different pieces, that suddenly the entire village can have soup, instead of everybody holding off and holding their pieces of whatever and not being able to do with it. And that's a lovely poetic story that plays a lot better than a bunch of people who got together to try to do good. I mean, it's a little punchier than that.
And the ingredients are fairly limited. It's just like three main ingredients, right? And it's just you're working with alcohol and hydrogen peroxide, glycerin, things that you've got to be careful with, and that's why.
Yeah, it's especially hydrogen peroxide. I mean, we're still looking for, regular peroxide that, people pour on wounds and so forth, but for the sake of simplicity when it comes to transport, we're using, highly concentrated peroxide, which is completely different from the stuff that people are familiar with. This stuff, we accidentally spilled some on the ground, and it ate a hole in the ground. I mean, the effect of high-strength hydrogen peroxide on a human body, somebody once gave me a really good visual on that.
We don't need a good visual, Chris. We don't need it.
it's bad stuff, and it's not. There's no really good civilian purpose for this stuff usually. And so it's actually a restricted chemical. You order that in drums, it comes free with its own FBI agent, so usually.
It allows you to produce this in volume, which is what you need to do. And Black Button went from producing bourbon to producing 4,000 bottles of hand sanitizer in basically 7 days.
Yeah, and now, like I said, they're ramping up to 8,500 a day and soon to be 10,000. So it's relatively easy to scale if you can get the ingredients, because, I mean, half a gallon, a friend of mine, one of the things we've been doing is we've been working on this network because, you know, we are being able to get chemicals, but we're running into problems occasionally in terms of getting chemicals on time. So sometimes somebody's, you know, running a carboy of this or that over to the other one and, you know, paying them back later with the same amount, you know, when theirs comes in. But you only need like half a gallon of concentrated peroxide to make 350 gallons of hand sanitizer. So it's not too bad. And we've had a lot of luck. I've got to say, we've got to give some credit to a company called CDI, Chemical Distributors Incorporated in Buffalo, who've been working with us and selling us chemicals and being very nice, because you've got a bunch of guys showing up and calling them who they've never known before, but they, you know, they do have federal licenses and so forth.
Right.
And so they've been really good to us in keeping this going too. So,
and you said that the distilleries are really collaborating, sharing information, sharing ingredients, and
each other. We're all pulling together and we're sharing and collaborating. And it's like, hey, you know, do you have bottles today?
You know, right. You got to have bottles to put this in. Yeah.
Oh, thousands of bottles, and and you've got to think about things like, you know, what size bottles for the sake of speed. You know, for the sake of speed, you want half-gallon, you know, gallon bottles. Well, for the sake of usability, it's kind of hard to take a one-gallon bleach bottle and pour it over your hands without making a complete mess. So we're having to source, you know, small pump bottles and spray bottles, and we're also doing another thing that we're doing outside of the sanitizer itself is we're providing just high-strength raw alcohol to hospitals and oxygen cylinder suppliers, because they need to decontaminate those cylinders when they come back. Because, you know, if you've got an empty oxygen cylinder coming in from somewhere, it's probably that, you know, the person who was using that has some sort of respiratory problem that the rest of us don't want.
Right.
So they need to be able to hose down oxygen cylinders and equipment with alcohol too, and that's been, you know, virtually impossible until now.
Chris Carlson is with us. Chris, your writing and things like that. About spirits, not about hand sanitizer, but maybe you'll do a book at some point.
How can they find your
writing about spirits?
Yeah. Well, we had someone came up with a really charming, you know, sort of heartwarming idea that, when we were discussing all this, it was one of the people that was really instrumental in this, and they were like, well, you know, he said, after all this is over, and I hope that's as soon as possible, she said, you know, hopefully people are going to write some books about this, and, you know, maybe Hollywood would get involved, because look at, you know, things that happened during the Depression or during the war, and people stepping up and people making movies about it, and I thought, gee, that would be nice. I'd rather be a script writer than... you know, coordinating 10 distilleries trying to, you know, meet a crisis. I'd much rather do something like that. That was a very charming and sort of, like I said, a nice idea while we were desperately trying to figure out, like, okay, how do we get, you know, this over here and that to there, and you know, these people just called up and said they want, you know, 1,000 gallons of whatever. It's challenging at times.
But the response that, you know, from doctors, from nurses, paramedics, they're desperate
really
for it. It's to help save their lives as well as the lives of the patients. And so,
that's what makes it all worthwhile. I mean, saving lives, and also, you know, when you just, you know, reach into your coat or into a, you know, bag or, you know, trunk of your car and go, oh, here, you know, and you know, pull out, that's, you know, people are treating it like gold. I mean, well, actually, in Europe, a 4-ounce bottle 2 weeks ago when I was in Austria was selling for the equivalent of $120, which doesn't cost anywhere near that.
Four ounces is not very much, but I think you told me that when you're in Vienna, one of the street vendors, mm-hmm. Had a small bottle and mm-hmm. Was it the Uber driver or someone? But
yeah, it was a person who did sort of what they call donor kebabs. They're sort of like falafels, essentially. And he and I were having a beer at midnight in Vienna, and we were in an area that was like a cross between Grand Central Station and Times Square normally, and there was three of us, including my wife. And he was, and he was being very nice and being, typical sort of Arab hospitality. He was telling us, oh, no, here, wash your hands, and giving us some hand sanitizer to wash our hands. And this Uber driver who we knew came up and said, oh, my God, I'm trying to drive people around. I'm trying to get people everywhere, and I'm desperate. I need hand sanitizer. He said I would have to pay 100 euros, which at that point was about $120. It's now less because the euro is falling. But anyway, and he was saying, how desperately he needed this. And this was after this gentleman had told us. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I have to pay my landlord. I have to pay my suppliers. I have to keep my employees employed. I have to look after my family, and I'm not making any money. But when this driver came up and said all that, he reached under the counter and pulled out a 4-ounce bottle like that and said, here, my brother, this is my gift to you. This is so in the midst of this crisis, and this guy's like basically starving, he's like handing out $100 bills essentially to somebody. So it's really been nice to see people step up like that. And also, I have to point out, too, that Jason and everybody else, what we're trying to do is make enough money that we can pay the employees and keep them going. And,
sure.
And that's, that's also part of this service, is not only saving lives, but keeping people, very gainfully employed and paid. So that's been a very important function, and also protecting the other people, like the people who are putting together your takeout or making sure that your internet is still working or, coming out to repair your appliances and things like that. So we're sort of all in it together, I guess. It is really nice to see to be at that level where you can sort of see that appreciation as opposed to being in the basement of a distillery and, working all night bottling, just putting it in boxes and seeing it disappear out the door. It's nice to see where it's actually going. So, well,
judging by the photos, you've been doing some of the bottling, not just the advising. So you're.
Oh yeah, we're all hands to the pump, and that's been, that's been challenging just in terms of like my own personal sleep, but also. We're running into problems because everyone's trying to stay safe and they're trying to stay socially distant and so forth. But,
sure.
So you've got people who really want to help, and it's like, well, we'd really like to have you, but we can't have that many people in the building, and B, we don't want our people to go down with anything that might catch, coronavirus, flu, colds, whatever.
Right.
So it's been interesting trying to, man all the bottling lines and so forth and keep everything going and keep things safe, because there's a lot of distilleries have got very strict protocols. I mean, it's like you're walking into an ICU when it comes to take their temperature, where have they been,
sure.
And, gown up and so forth. It's not a bunch of people, mixing stuff up in the basement somewhere. I mean, okay, sometimes the bottling lines are in the basement of the distillery,
but it's professionally done.
Professionally done and very clean and so forth. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of that, and we've been doing a lot of advising. We just got we've got another distillery out near Casanova that just wrote and said, hey, how are you doing this? Where do you get your chemicals and so forth and so on, because they want to supply all of their EMT personnel and police and so forth in their area. So it's been a lot of exchange, of information, and there's also been a lot of exchange of materials from time to time, and giving each other tips about, okay, go to this site, they have bottles, or go to the Tractor Supply. They have bottles today or something. It's been quite an ongoing little thing. So
you're saying you might need a new phone after this?
Yeah, I think my iPhone is dying. I'm getting worried because I know all the Apple stores are closed now. But yeah,
right.
we've been wearing out all of our phones, and I don't want to think about my data plan. So we'll deal with all that later.
That's right.
And my dining room is fully taken over with pump bottles, empty pump bottles at the moment. But we'll rectify that very soon.
Did you say that Red Cat is providing some wine?
Yes, that was amazing. Red Cat has now donated 30,000 bottles. That's 5,500 gallons or 45 pallets of wine to the cause. And they not only did that, they really outdid themselves, because while we were sitting there going, okay, who do we know with large trucks, they found a trucking company that is going to be delivering it in the next few days to a distillery over in Geneva, who luckily has the space and the still capacity. So they're going to get a few people together with some plastic drums, two people to a drum, and they're going to uncap all 30,000 bottles and pour it into those barrels, and then roll it over the still and turn it into hand sanitizer. So it's really a lovely thing, but it was a bit of a logistical nightmare for a few hours. Swedish Hill was lovely. They stepped up and contributed roughly 400 gallons of wine, and it is now in the tanks of Adam Begley's distillery at O'Begley Distilling, and he is currently turning that into ethanol. In fact, he also did he's the one yesterday that turned out 350 gallons of hand sanitizer. And was also having to get into arguments with Costco about buying sugar, because he had to buy 9 100-pound bags of sugar, and they weren't terribly happy about that at first, until they found out, A, what he was doing, and the fact that he was buying the 100-pound bags. And, you know, even the most crazed hoarder kind of hesitates at buying 100-pound bags of sugar at this point.
Yeah, they should. Most bags of fertilizer I've lifted have been 50 pounds, and that was enough. A 100-pound bag, not something you want to lift.
No, and especially when you have to put it on your shoulder and then climb up a ladder to pour it into a tank.
But the reason that you're taking like the bottles of wine from Red Cat is that it speeds up the process, right? Because otherwise they got to ferment that sugar and create alcohol, but it's already in the wine, so they can just distill it.
Yeah, exactly. Because the way that it works, a lot of people don't know this necessarily, or at least don't think about it much, is that when you're starting to make a distilled beverage, you have to start off with either basically a wine or beer. Like in the case of cognac, they make this very thin, acidic, really awful wine out of the Uni Blanc grapes, and it's undrinkable. I mean, if you took a ladle out of, you know, the 50,000 gallon tank at a distillery of the basically sour corn beer that they make bourbon out of, you wouldn't drink that either. But it takes anywhere from 2 to 5 days usually to ferment that, and then you have to feed it into a still. And you're talking 12 to 16 hours of essentially boiling this and separating the components. So it can take upwards of a week from start to finish. But if you already have a fermented product, such as a wine or maybe a beer that didn't turn out or something, or not up to par, and you take that, you can immediately feed that into a still, and then you only have to be, I use the term only because it's not simple. you can take that and put it in a still and distill it in about 12 hours rather than, you know, 6 or 7 days. So that's a huge bonus. And we're also now, as of Thursday night, the federal government has said, no, now you guys can go talk to the people that make ethanol for your cars, which is something we can use also. And they're saying, no, you can just go and buy totes there. And so that that gets it down a lot quicker because we don't even have to distill this. We just have to, like, basically drop a hose in the tank and pour it into our mixing vats, and bingo, you know, half an hour later you've got, you know, hundreds of gallons of hand sanitizer. So we're really looking forward to that too. But right now we're still very actively trying to find, you know, beer and wine and, you know, anything with alcohol or even potential alcohol in it, so we can distill that too. So because it's, I don't know, every time we think we're getting ahead, you know, somebody else pops up and says they need, you know, thousands of gallons or something. It's mind-boggling, and we're suddenly learning, like, how many industries are now dependent on hand sanitizer.
Right.
Like, you know, like I said, who knew? All the linemen, all the Dish Network people, Time Warner, everybody else, and, you know, and of course, like I said, all the people who come in direct, you know, bank tellers.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone. It's not just the EMTs and the police and medical and nursing homes who, you know, do get first priority, but there's so many other people, you know, sort of the underserved population that we, you know, we're trying to do it for everybody. And we're also, it also helps because luckily virtually every craft distillery can do this. It's not magic, and there's no trade secrets here. We're,
right,
you know, happily doing this. But, yeah, somebody made a joke where they were referring to me as the Walter White or the Heisenberg of sanitizer. It's like, oh, okay, I'll take that. I guess that might be true. You know, just given what we're doing, you know, and the amount that we're doing and the complexity and so forth, it did get a lot more complex just in terms of, you know, coordinating everybody. The act itself is relatively simple, but getting everyone together and getting all the chemicals in the right order and the right time and so forth and getting it out to people, and you know, getting it into bottles and the proper bottles and labels, that's the other thing.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's a lot more. So in some ways, like, everybody can do it, but coordinating, it's a lot harder. So
it's fine to label a few dozen bottles, but when you're labeling thousands, so, you know, it just, everything gets more complicated.
Oh, yeah, no. It's just, you know, we're making jokes about, you know, repetitive motion industry and carpal tunnel and so forth, but
sure.
Hey,
those doctors are going to take care of you guys after all the work on this hand sanitizer.
I hope they'll be thinking warm thoughts about us when we come in with, you know, completely scarred up hands,
right,
with, you know, shedding skin and so forth, you know, because,
exactly,
capping bottles, you know, you can, after a while, like, you know, you get blisters. Even if you do wear gloves.
Well, Chris, thank you for again helping to make this possible for more distilleries to take part and to help fill this void until Purell and some of the major producers can refill the pipelines.
Certainly hopeful. We'd like to be able to just fade back into the scenery and, you know,
right,
be able to write about whiskey and other people, you know, making good whiskey or brandy or whatever they do. We'd like to not have to do what we're doing in a way. You know, we'd like to see somebody else take. We'd like to see this crisis over, and also we'd like to see other people doing it. We kind of liken it to, you know, partisans or something. And World War II, it's like, okay, you know, we're it now, but, you know, we're hoping that the arsenal of democracy kicks in so we can go back to our farms. So
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, Chris, thank you very, very much, and appreciate all your time this morning. Where can people find your writing about spirits again?
Oh, sure.
Online?
Well, luckily, it's pretty simple. It's just spiritsreview.com. And that's our usual website. Ironically, we have not updated it to say anything about what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks, but we'll be doing that soon. And certainly if anyone wants to reach out to us, they can write to us there, and they can also look on Facebook. We started a page called the Stone Soup Project, which is essentially a gathering of the distillers and so forth and what we're doing. And people can reach out to us there, and we can try to respond to questions as much as we can.
Right.
Chances are your own craft distillery in your state is probably making some right now.
Or you can help them get
Oh, sure. In fact, you know, when I jump off, I'm calling a couple of them that had written to me because, yeah, it's, you know, it's very easy to do. We're more than happy to share any information, and luckily, like the World Health Organization and things like that, you know, like quality resources. Don't go on those other sites or the conspiracy websites that will tell you to use all sorts of things, you know.
Be careful of your sources.
Yeah, stick with
good point.
Good sources, reputable sources, proven sources, not things on, you know, on the internet or a couple of news channels I won't mention.
I hope you get some sleep through all this, Chris.
So do I.
Again, thanks for your time.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Chris Carlson, lives here in Rochester, and spiritsreview.com. You can not read about this yet, but about his work with distilled spirits in general from around the world. We'll take a quick break. Be back to talk to one of the distilleries, Begley's, after a quick break here on WYSL 1040. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of the Grapevine, places you need to contact and order some wine from, like Casalarga, hometown winery right here in Monroe County. They're also doing curbside service, but order it online. They can ship it to you and pretty inexpensively, and they'll have some great local wine. They make all kinds. They're dry rosé, sparkling wine. They're lovely ice wines, and of course, dry reds, Chardonnays, Rieslings, Gewürztraminers, Muscat Otonel, so many different ones to try. You'd have to get a couple of cases in order to try all the different wines that they make. Casalarga.com, you can get more details. Also, Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company are shipping wines, and two outstanding wineries, Peter Bell and Peter Beecraft, the winemakers, are just... They're great people, but also some tremendous winemakers. That's foxrunvineyards.com, anthonyroadwine.com to get more details. And it's, you know, again, they can ship all around the country to many states. Their wines are actually distributed in Europe and in Canada, perhaps more widely distributed than people realize. Chateau Lafayette Renault on the east side of Seneca Lake. Also can ship to you. They've been making gorgeous dry reds for many years. Get details at clrwine.com. Again, Chateau Lafayette Renault, east side of Seneca Lake. They won a Governor's Cup for semi-dry Riesling also several years ago. So, again, their dry reds are delicious, but many different wines to sample there at Chateau Lafayette Renault. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on the Grapevine.
Here we sit enjoying the shade.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Drink the drink that I have made.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Tell you why the day is sunny. I'm in
love. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is the Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And Chris Carlson was just on and mentioned that Begley Distilling produced, I think, 350 gallons of hand sanitizer just maybe yesterday. And we have Adam Begley from Begley's on right now. Good morning, Adam.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And first, we only have a few minutes, but maybe a quick background on Begley's. Where are you and
sure.
When did you open?
Yeah, so I think we started about 2011. It was the first year our distillery opened, and we make all Irish-style whiskey. Everything we do is kind of like in the, the kind of like a Jameson, Bushmills, kind of in that style. Our tasting room is on Seneca Lake. Been down there for a few years, and so that's a that's kind of a quick background.
Where on Seneca Lake?
It's about 2/3 of the way down on the west side, just north of Watkins Glen.
And the idea of making hand sanitizer, where did you hear about that?
Well, I had people call me, so the U.S. Post Office called me. I've had some, big companies, energy companies, stuff like that, that have thousands of employees that are, deemed to be like, critical, where they have to work. And so they don't have the choice, right? Like they have to drive, they have to, do deliveries and whatnot. And they said that they couldn't find it anywhere. And so the post office asked me if we can make it for them. And I said, yeah, sure. Not doing anything else right now, right?
So. Yeah, tourism is not happening. And you have the stills of the still available. What were you able to get, the ethanol or use wine, or what did you use?
Yeah, so the stills that we have are actually made from pharmaceutical reactor vessels, so they're perfect for this. So they've already got, they're all made out of stainless steel and, big agitator blades and, that kind of thing. We tried to do the ethanol route, and, it's just too slow. So luckily I was able to get some isopropyl alcohol, from like a fuel company. And so we started doing that. But the supply chain is just, it's in such a bad state right now that it's difficult to get almost anything. So chemicals and ingredients, stuff that would normally be easy to get and fast, it's like there's a stumbling block. Everywhere you turn, there's some sort of a problem. And then even the simplest thing, like bottles, which are normally, you could call any company and order these things from, my typical bottle supplier. Like we have our own supply chain that we go through, or even like Uline or something like that, and they just don't have any. It's just gone. There's just nothing there.
Yeah.
And they have no idea when it's going to come back, right? So like, because a lot of the plastic bottles probably come from China. And so,
sure.
All that's backed up, right? And then on top of the fact that everybody else is trying to get them for whatever else they're working on.
You have 350 gallons of hand sanitizer, but you don't have anything to put it in.
Right. Yeah. So we found stuff, but it's been a challenge.
Yeah. Well, and again, as Chris Carlson mentioned, the wineries may be able to ship wine to customers, but you can't ship spirits, can you, to much less hand sanitizer to people?
I think they just changed the law, so we can ship our spirits in New York now. I think I just saw an email about that the other day. So
okay.
Within New York State, we can ship through UPS, I believe.
All right, so that may be possible, and that would help you, right, to have some income coming in?
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, so right now the store is shut down. We don't even have the tasting room open at all. We've talked about it, but I just think it's probably not, we're not there yet. I think we've got to wait a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad you're making that decision. I wish more restaurants would stop doing takeout for another week or two, and we need to stay home and in your case, stay safe working on hand sanitizer, appreciate it. All your work on that and helping to grow the number of distilleries that are producing it, because as you mentioned, there are so many essential workers out there that really need access to it.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that it was as big of a problem as it was. I'd heard on the news that there was a shortage, but I never really looked into it or pursued it until I started getting calls from places. And just like I can't find any of the chemicals to make it, they can't find any of the of the hand sanitizer, right? So all the way across the board, when I talk to shipping companies now, big shipping companies, transport companies and stuff like that, freight haulers, they said that they're having problems with everything, with their logistics.
Yeah.
Anything related to transport is, and it's not just here, it's all across the country.
Well, Adam, thanks for working on this, and appreciate all that, and thank you for calling it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for chatting this morning.
What's your website, by the way?
It's obegley.com.
All right.
OBEGLEY.com. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Yeah. Thanks.
Bye-bye. That's, again, Adam Obegley, Obegley Distilling, Seneca Lake. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes from 9 to noon. Stay home, stay safe, and be careful. Have a great day.